we continue our lesson. Let's start with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord God. It's only because of your grace that we're here today, Lord God, and we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that as the seeds are planted, Lord, that they take root and they bring forth 100, 1,000, and 10,000-fold, Lord. We don't come here just to have our ears tickled. We come here, Lord, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that we digest it and we take it in and it becomes a part of who we are in you. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, first of all, I know Rita's making our coffees, but I just wanted to thank her publicly for doing the class last week. I heard it was fantastic. You know, she talked about this is how I fight my battles. And if you did not get a handout from her lesson last week, we have extra copies of her lesson. Would you pass that back there, Terry? So if you want copies of her outline and what she taught, this is how I fight my battles. And, you know, Rita is a prayer warrior. You know, she is, I mean, she is amazing when it comes to prayer. So I'm just so excited about the fact that she did our lesson last week. Mm-hmm. And as we go forward, we are going to continue in the battle plan for prayer. And we are still in the introduction, believe it or not.
That's all right.
And that is all right because, you know, we like to just sit and park and just really dig into the Word of God and really dig into these lessons. You know, all we have is time. So we take our time and we want to really just digest this and hear what is being said. As the last few weeks, we have been going over that symbol that's on the cover of the book. It represents something. We went through what the cross represents. Can I see your book for a second, Terry?
For sure.
I'm just going to show them the symbol right here. It'll be on the handout when you get the handout. But this symbol is a Christian symbol, and it represents something. And we were talking about how what the cross represents is, you know, before we can even begin to talk about battle and prayer, you've got to go to the cross. And you've got to have that relationship with Christ established. You know, so that's why that's in the very center of the cross. And then we talked about the vertical lines represents even beyond the cross. You've got to have that relationship with God thriving and growing. A relationship is a living thing. It cannot be stagnant. If it's stagnant, then it's not alive. If it's just like ho-hum, it's not really thriving. But that vertical line represents that thriving and growing relationship that you have with Christ all the time, that it should never be something that is sitting still. It should ever be growing. Your relationship with him should be different than it was last year. It should be more in depth. It should be constantly moving and growing. So that's what the vertical lines represent. And then we talked about the horizontal lines. And the horizontal lines represent relationship with each other. And we went through scripture, how serious God is about our relationship with each other. And Jesus even taught us, if you have an issue with your brother and sister, then God won't even hear your prayers. And God doesn't even want your offering, because it was an offering that the person was bringing. God says, I don't even want your offering. I don't want your gifts. I don't want your talent until you get it right. You know, that's how serious God is about how we treat each other, how we take care of each other, how we love each other. And I'm not talking about when people are just, you know, upset over little foolish things that are not real, you know, because people can be controlling and all of that. I'm talking about when there's a issue that the Holy Spirit has convicted you about concerning your brother and sister, and you refuse to get it right. You're going to repress it. You're not going to forgive people. That kind of thing. That's what they're talking about in Scripture, that you have to, that is important. As we're talking about a battle for prayer, then you need to make sure that you have things right with people. You know, I don't care who they are. I don't care if you think you're too much to apologize or to get it right. Folks, get it right. It's not worth it, because we don't want this connection interrupted. And sometimes this connection, when it's in a mess, then this connection gets interrupted. So nothing between your soul and your Savior, folks. Nothing between your soul and your Savior. Get it right. It's not worth it. I tell people, I ain't going to hell over nobody. I'm sorry. This life has been too hard for me to go to hell behind. What kind of sense does that make? So I'm like, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to treat you right. I'm going to do my best not to return insult for insult or evil for evil, because you know, I got to see Jesus one day, folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got to see him. So again, we want to get, make sure that that relationship is right. And then we talked about the inner circle. Oh my God, the inner circle. And the inner circle, boy, that's what was my favorite part of all of this, is that inner circle time is your prayer closet time. The inner circle is not about other people. The inner circle is about you and God dealing with your issues. That's what that inner circle is all about. So when you see that symbol and you see that inner circle on the symbol, it's talking about you and God and what God wants to talk to you about you. Okay? He wants to talk about your fears and your hurts. He wants to talk about, you know, the things that plague you. The spirit of rejection, the spirit of pride, all the things that we deal with that we never tell anybody else. We don't even speak it out loud to ourselves sometimes because we just don't want to deal with it. But that's what that inner circle time is all about. And that happens in your prayer closet where you get things right. We talked about how in the original temple of Solomon that was built, it represented, oh boy, it represented prayer, actually, because there was the outer court, and then there was the inner court, and then there was the court of the priest, and then there was the Holy of Holies. And when you know when Jesus died, there was a veil that hung between the Holy of Holies, and no one could go in there. Even the priests had to cleanse themselves before they went into that Holy of Holies room. And even then, they tied a rope to their feet and put bells on their robe. So just in case you had an issue that you didn't get right, just in case, we're not going in after you. We're just going to pull you out. Seriously, that's what they did. That's how awesome the holiness of God was, that you just couldn't be going in his presence. But when Jesus died, don't you know that veil was torn in two? So that now you and I, without any type of credentialing or accolades, we could go right into the Holy of Holies. But folks, the inner circle is where that happens, I'm telling you. The inner circle, that time when you're willing to lay down all that stuff so that you can go into the deeper places of God. We talked about the brazen altar. There was an altar that was in the outer court. The outer court is where anybody could come. Jews, Gentiles, anybody could go into the outer court. Only Jews could go into the inner court, but the outer court, anybody could go in there, and there was this altar. In your lesson, you'll see that picture of that altar, that brazen altar. And they called it a brazen altar because it comes from that word brazen that means to be shameless, to be arrogant. You know, it was an altar where you laid down your arrogance and you laid down your pride. They had to bring sacrifice for being brazen and arrogant before God. And, you know, so they had to actually bring sacrifices. But today it stands as a symbol for us that if you're going to go before God, if you're going to go in this inner circle, folks, you got to come humble. You got to be ready to humble yourself before God if you want to go to the deeper places. You can't go in there all brazen, you know, and bold face, and nobody can tell you anything. And God, you can't go into the inner courts, and you can't go into the Holy of Holies. You know, I've run into people sometimes that wanted to come off as so deep and so spiritual and so close to God, but their lives told a different story. I'm like, you have no humility, and yet you want me to believe that you're so close to God? Oh no, see, they're in contrast to each other. We have to go past that brazen altar before we can even go into the inner court. You know, much less the Holy of Holies. God, you got to lay it all down. So we talked about that inner circle and how important it was that we had to go there and we had to get things right and before God. And then after all of that, you know, we're ready to deal with the crosshairs and the crosshairs targeting prayer. That's what we're going to talk about. So after all that, after you get all that straight, now you're ready to do some battle. Rita, I was just talking about you. You were out of the room, but I just love this lesson. This is how I fight my battles. Folks, I'm telling you, you're going to fight your battles. I'm telling you, you got to go by way of that. And I encourage you to just research these scriptures, you know, and just go over them again and again. I'm telling you how, you know, I'm so pleased at how she did that lesson. And you're Rita's a prayer warrior, I'm telling you. So I'm excited about it. I'm going to take this with me on vacation, girl. I'm going to go over this myself. You know, so now, after all of that, we're ready to now get into prayer and get our crosshairs set on different things that we need to target in prayer after all of that. So in your lesson today, my numbers are different than yours, but the part that says the crosshairs, that's where we are right now.
Page five
on the lesson, and we were playing that song by Hillary Scott, Thy Will Be Done. I love that song, boy. You know, and boy, the words of that song are so beautiful, because she says, you know, I know you're good, but this don't feel good. You know, she talks about, you know, and she says, but still, thy will be done. And there's one part of her song where she says, I have to remember that you are God and I am not. So thy will be done. Man, I know. Boy, that part of the song hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, I am not. And so thy will be done. So we got to get into that. So when it comes to the crosshairs, so as we get into the lesson on the crosshairs, it says in your lesson, we come out of the inner circle. Once we come out of the inner circle, we are ready to aim our intercession. Hallelujah. We're finally there. We're now ready to aim our intercession. The crosshairs reminds us to aim our intercession and to pray specifically, strategically, and persistently. And this is from our book, Battle Plan of Prayer. Now we're ready to do battle. But it says, ask, the scripture says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. And that's from Matthew 7 through 8. As we look at this verse that Jesus spoke on asking, seeking, and knocking, we must ponder on what we are asking for, seeking for, and knocking for. I believe it all points to the will and purposes of God. We must ask for things according to his will. We must seek what that will is, and then we must knock or pursue in faith until that will is manifested. This is the strategy, folks. I tell people, your faith should not even kick in until you know the will of God. You know, this is not just some shopping mall where you can just say, give me this, give me this, give me that. No. Prayer is serious. Prayer takes a strategy, and the first strategy is knowing the will of God, knowing where to target your crosshairs. This specificity, strategy, and persistence to answer prayer. This is the strategy. We must have the same mind in prayer as Christ Jesus did as he was facing his torture and his death. And you remember the prayer. It's recorded in Luke 22:42. When he said, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, even Jesus, you know, even though he was feeling all kind of things he wanted to do in the flesh, he said, nevertheless. You know, and sometimes we have to be there like, okay, Lord, I'm hurting and I want this to be taken care of and I want this to be taken care of and I want the pain to stop. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because sometimes even the will of the Lord involves suffering and involves pain. Folks, I wish I could say it wasn't true, but it is. Jesus was that prime example of that. He knew what he was about to face. And he was like, Father, take, please. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. Are you willing to say that? Our prayer should always be about the will of God, even when we are facing heart-wrenching situations. It should still be about thy will be done. You can trust him. You can trust that thy is love. Thy loves you. Okay, he loves you. He sees the big picture. You see a segment. You just see a pinhole. But he sees the whole thing, and he is love. So you can say with freedom, you can say with release, thy will be done. And I'm okay, and I'm happy with that. I'm okay. I may not be happy with it, but I'm at peace with it. You know, you may not feel the happiness with it, but you feel the peace with it. Another example in Job 1:21, Job faced the loss of everything. He said these words after he had lost everything, after all his children had died, after he'd lost all his property and his houses were gone. And after he said, after all of this was lost, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow. Can you imagine? I mean, we read these words and we talk about these words, but man, is it real to you? You know, because the real life is out there, folks. This is a haven here. Here at the house of God, this is a haven. You know, we're surrounded by believers and, you know, we can just, you know, and I know we feel great when we come together. I'm walking on air when I leave here on Sunday morning because I'm just feeling so good about being around my family and all of this, you know, but the real work is out there. That's where the pain is out there. That's where the resentments are going to come in. That's where a betrayal may happen. Are you carrying this with you as you go out there? Are you willing to say, "Thy will be done. Lord, let it happen. Whatever you happen, let it happen, Father. I'm learning that I can trust you in everything, in the smallest little things, you know? Learning not to get into frustration, because some of us can't even take the little things, you know? Little frustration, and you got an attitude for the rest of the day. It's just... really? Like, God knew it. God knew it. I went to, I was at Walmart. I went to Walmart, you know, because we were getting ready to go on our trip. And I went to Walmart and I bought these things. I needed some stuff for Matt and I bought him his some more soap and all this stuff for him. And got home, couldn't find it anywhere. Couldn't find it anywhere. And I'm looking all over the house and I'm thinking, "Lord, you know, is my mind good? I know I didn't leave it in the buggy. Did I leave it at Walmart? What?" You know, couldn't find it. And, you know, there was a time when that would have just messed with me for the rest of the whole weekend would have been ruined because I couldn't find it, you know. But I just, you know, I said, "Lord, you know, if somebody found that soap and needed that soap, you know, I'm just going to believe that I was an instrument as a blessing for somebody that needed soap, and maybe they couldn't afford the soap, and maybe they found the bag and they needed the soap, and it was an answer to prayer. So, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of that answer to prayer. You know, I'll buy more soap, you know." And that's the attitude. I'm just saying that that's the way we got to look at things. Don't let frustrations define your peace. Don't let situations define your peace. I mean, God is always working. He's always got things. I mean, just stuff just happening. And I know that I'm teaching this stuff, and then the Lord tests me on things. You teaching it. Let's see if how you live it. Let's see how you walk with it. You know, and I'm learning, Lord, whatever happens, even when it's something frustrating, you know, I'm learning that don't let that situation define your peace. Your peace comes from God. You're good. That all that comes from God, and keep that in mind. I see you, Spanky. I'm going to get to you, okay?
Just stand in line at Walmart.
I have. Yeah. And I won't even talk about the pharmacy. Okay. I was like, that was another peace test I had this weekend. I was like, "Oh, you on the phone for 10 minutes while I'm waiting in line for my child's medicine?" You know? But I'm like, "Thy will be done." But you know, Holy Spirit.
Did you find the soap?
No, I haven't found the soap.
Okay,
I just said,
then somebody does,
like, you know,
it.
Jesus, you know, I said, you know, I'm just gonna believe somebody got blessed with the soap.
Yes.
For all I know, somebody was praying, "Lord, I don't have enough for the soap."
Yes.
So I'm just gonna get my food. You know, get my food and just go because I don't have enough to, and maybe I left it in the buggy in the parking lot and they found it,
mm-hmm.
You know? So you never know what God is doing. And if you are a servant of the living God, you've got to know that he has full privileges with you to do things. And I'm finding, "Lord, okay. All right, Lord, that's gone. That's gone to that person. That's gone to that person. I needed that, but you know, I know you'll take care of me. But that person got blessed, you know. I lost something else this week. I hate to say it out loud. I lost my keys, you know. And I was like, "Lord, what's going on?" I was like, "Lord, what is happening? What is going on?" But because I lost my keys, it gave an opportunity for someone that, you know, we were having a little conflict. It gave opportunity for this person to jump in, and this person helped me out so much. They helped me look for those keys. They helped me. And it's, you know, I saw, like, even though they seemed like, but they loved me. They were like, let's go here. And I was like, Jesus, you know, it wasn't even about the keys. It was about relationship, that he was healing a relationship. I mean, really, guys, if you pay attention, you can see what God is doing. It's not about the situation. It's about God wants you to see, what am I doing in the situation? Who's coming alongside to help you in the situation? That's what it's about. That person, oh, they're just looking diligently, more diligent than I was looking. You know, and I did find my keys, by the way.
You got to church.
Yeah. My keys. But it was like, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit. It was just about healing that. So it was an opportunity for them to jump in and heal that. You know, so I'm just seeing how God is working. And folks, sometimes if we look at things, and sometimes we have already been praying for it, and then when it starts to manifest itself, we get all frustrated, because sometimes that manifestation can hurt a little bit or be a little irritating or frustrating when it starts to manifest the answer to the prayer. You know, people that were estranged from you start showing up and coming around, and, you know, and God, you got to look at God. What are you doing here? Let me see. Let your maidservant see what you're doing, so I can be a part and be in the flow of the Spirit and not be, you know, someplace else in the flesh. So again, we just keep looking, and we're looking at the strategy of prayer. So the next point in your lesson says, the strategy in your prayer closet is to submit your will and purpose to God's will and not the other way around. The strategy is to submit your will. That's part of your strategy, is to submit your will, okay? It's not looking at planning and putting all the details. The strategy is to submit your will to the will of God. God does not submit to your will. That should be your will. You submit to his will. That's got to be made so crystal clear. You submit to his will. The strategy is not how you can manipulate God to what you want. And sometimes we think that's a strategy. How can I manipulate God to what I want? And we don't say it out loud, but that's what we think. I'm gonna go to Wednesday night service, and I'm gonna go to Sunday school, and I'm just gonna do this, and I'm gonna give to the poor. I'm gonna help in the food kitchen, and then, because after I do all that, then God's gonna answer my prayer. And boy, if God doesn't, after all I did for you, we're doing something for God. You cannot manipulate God. Strategy is not about manipulating God to do what you want. In your prayer closet, you must strategize or plan how you will overcome your emotions. That's the strategy. How am I going to overcome my emotions, your opinions, and the voice of the enemy? Then submit to the will and the ways of God. That's the strategy you need to be working on. You know something pushes your buttons. You know that person that's going to push your buttons. You know that situation that's going to mess you up. It has in the past, over and over again, and the enemy knows that. So strategize how you're not going to let that happen next time. That's the strategy. The scriptures teach us, let me say this first. Strategize on how to get past your anger, your resentment, your bad attitude, your old opinions before Jesus, because we all had opinions before Jesus came around, and silencing the voice of demons so that I can submit my heart to God and get his will into my crosshairs as I pray. Because see, as you quiet all that stuff, you can get his will in the crosshairs. And you can kind of see what he wants as you submit. That stuff just starts to wash off you. All that attitude, all that emotion. And sometimes it's not necessarily a bad emotion. Sometimes it's just emotion. Some of us are so emotional. I mean, just constantly feeling sorry for ourselves, self-pity and stuff. And, you know, folks, I already checked the word of God. God does not endorse self-pity. He doesn't. I'm like, you know, Because I remember feeling sorry for myself, you know. I came hobbling into Praise Assembly, sitting up back there, up there in the rafters, you know, all embarrassed and ashamed at what had gone on in my life. And, you know, just sitting in the back, just feeling sorry for myself. Oh, Jesus, you know, everything's gone. You know, everything. I'm going through a divorce and, you know, and I still have a son with autism. And you see all his behaviors and all the...
And he said, get up.
He was like, are you done? Yeah, and he said, get up. And he said, go talk to Pastor Wilson. Yeah. I never told you, I don't know if I ever told you the story how I got this class, because I came in the class, I said, I talked to Pastor Wilson. He said, well, you know, they need help in the Sunday school, so I came to the Faith Builders class. You know, I said, oh, I'm just going to come in the class, and Carol was teaching, and Carol was teaching, and, you know, and I told Carol, so Carol, I'm just coming, you know, Pastor Wilson, yeah, said you needed a help with the class, so I'm here to help. And she had me do a lesson, and Carol took off, okay? Carol and her husband went on the road with the Gideon and said, peace out. I was like, wait. And she was gone. She was just waiting. So I'm going to tell you, God will set you up. So I feel like he set me up, but I love the fact that he set me up because, you know, I got this beautiful class. But again, self-pity, that was one that we really have to hit on. Emotions, feeling sorry for yourself. Folks, humility is about that too. Humility is about stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get up, you know, because that self-pity keeps you hiding and feeling sorry and I can't do it because that's pride. Self-pity is pride turned inward. Somebody told me that a long time ago. Shyness, pride turn inward, you know, that you're too prideful because you're worried about what everybody else is going to say about you if you get up and do something. And I'm telling, you know, the Lord showed me the scars. Okay, you got something to say? Show me where I want to see the scars where you died for me. Oh, okay. Get up and do what Jesus called you to do. If he called you to do it, then you do it. He's got your back. And that's all that matters, is that he got your back. So in that, as you do the crosshairs, your strategy is to get over yourself, basically. That's the first part of your strategy. Get over yourself. If you're going to be praying and before God, you got to get over yourself. Your emotions, your opinions. Oh, we can be so opinionated. You know, what we think is right, you know. I don't care what political party you adhere to. Folks, you better put Jesus above any political party. It's about Jesus. Oh, boy, your opinions and what you think. The voice of the enemy, boy, and he's constantly going. He's constantly going in your ears, folks. You got to learn how to overcome that in your strategy. How do I overcome the voice of the enemy? Do I have to keep the radio going day and night in my home? That's what I had to do, folks, because the enemy was constantly in my ears talking and just trying to oppress me and keep me down. And I had to just turn on the radio. You know, I just turn on KTLF. Boy, I love that station. And I had in every room I would just play it and just have it going all the time so that every time I, even through the night, I would just hear the praise and the worship, you know, and that's what my mind was on, you know, trying to keep my mind. And today, you know, we even have a Bible app, you know, that will actually read the word to you. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And it has a timer on. Just go to sleep with the word reading to you. Folks, that's a strategy. That's your strategy on how to get your mind on the things that should be. And the enemy hates that environment. The enemy hates that. Oh, he does not want the praise going on because God inhabits praise. You know, so he doesn't want that going on. So I'm telling you, you want to rid the enemy out of your home, start praying that praise and worship. You don't have to have it blasting. Just have a little, I got even a little radio in the bathroom that I just had, just a little tiny, little $9 radio I got from Walmart. And I just turn it on just barely enough so you can hear it and just let it play. Radio takes very little electricity. At least that's what my mama told me. So I believe her. So just play it real low. And boy, you'll see the atmosphere of your home just change. The people in there, they don't even know why it feels so good in here. It's because you were telling me, Terry, I know that's why. I know, and you're not the first person that said that. Boy, I come into your home and boy, I feel the peace. I feel the peace. And I'm telling, it's the praise. It's the praise and the worship. We just keep it going. Just keep it going so that the atmosphere, so the enemy doesn't have a foothold. That when my mind goes, you know, and it's clear, then all I hear is praise. You know, because the enemy is constantly trying to plant thoughts, you know. But you keep that praise and those thoughts will subside. So strategize how to get past your anger and your resentment and your bad attitude. Silencing the voice of demons. And concentrate on how can I submit my heart to God and get his will into my crosshairs. The answer is with the Holy Spirit, too. You got to bring the Holy Spirit into this. The Holy Spirit is willing and is ready to do this, but he will not violate your will, and he will not violate what you want. So you got to invite the Holy Spirit to help you. And the scriptures teach us, your lesson says, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. And this is a weakness, folks. Our emotions are a weakness. Our attitudes are a weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. Hallelujah. And that's Romans 8:26. Sometimes, folks, when you are really getting to the deeper place of God, there are no words to express yourself in prayer, only spirit to spirit. You get to a place when the Lord starts really getting to that place where you're overcoming your emotions and your opinions, and it's only spirit-to-spirit prayer. Spirit-to-spirit melts away the things of the flesh, and the voices of demons are quiet. And it brings clarity to the purposes of God. See, as that happens, you get clarity on the purposes of God. Boy, it just some things the Lord told me, that's not for you, that's for that person. Oh, I was going for that. Oh, man, I qualify and I'm going for it. And the Lord will tell you that's not for you. That's for that other person. You need to encourage them to take that path, not you. But no, I've got something else for you. It's amazing the clarity you'll get. And then the Lord will say, because as you're doing this, this, and this, they need to be doing this, this, and this. Boy, it just makes, and it just, you can see all the, oh, how wise God is. I'm like, yeah, that does make sense, because how can I do that and that? No, you can't. So I have that for you, but this is for them. So pray for them to succeed in that path while you do this. Oh, I'm telling you, you get clarity into the purposes of God. You find that his will is always the best will. It's not, everything is not for you. Some things are for other people to do, you know, and that's one thing is we get over ourselves and we get over pride. We realize that so many things are for other people to have and not necessarily for us to have. It's for other people to have, you know, and that's a hard thing because we get so prideful. And we learn how to, that horizontal connection even becomes stronger. As we humble ourselves, as we get over things, man, we learn how to pray. I'm talking about the crosshairs now, because you'll have people in your crosshairs, you know, and you'll know how to pray for them better, because now you're getting yourself out of the way and you're learning what you need to pray for them, even if that thing you're praying for is greater than what you got going on. See, that's where I'll pray, but they can't be better than me or greater than, oh, beloved, beloved. God's got you too. You don't have to be jealous of what anybody else is doing because he's got you. And if you're going to really intercede for people, you know, boy, then you've got to be able to put the purposes of God for them in your crosshairs when you pray for them. So the Spirit will help us. It brings clarity. The next point says, you ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness or an unrighteous agenda. Wow. He's got to be talking to believers here because unbelievers are not praying. Okay. So that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic or fleshly desires. And that's James 4:3. Oh, God is always looking at the heart when you pray. You can keep it real with him because he knows you. Keep it real. You know, I have a friend, I appreciate her so much, and she'll say, you know, I can't do that because I'll get greedy. I'm jealous. I'm dealing with jealousy. And I appreciate that realness mm-hmm. before God. I'm jealous. I feel the jealousy in me. I got to go pray, you know, because I should be happy that this happened for them. But I'm feeling, oh, see, that's what God, and God wants you to be real. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to be real before him. You know, just deal. You know, I love the way David used to pray. Oh, boy, you read some of those prayers in the Psalms. I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred, God. I'm like, dang, a perfect hatred. What is that? I mean, but a perfect hatred, you know. But he was so real. He was so real before God, and God dealt with his heart because he exposed his heart. God already sees what's in your heart, but he's still waiting for you to expose it to him. Because he can see everything that's there, but if you won't open up to him and you're all closed off and you won't have a conversation with him about it, then it just sits there. And it just sits there. And he's waiting and knocking and knocking. Let's open that door. Not that door, Jesus. Oh, God, not that door. I don't want to go past that memory. I don't want to. Let me in. Let me in. And boy, you will never regret that you let him in. I'm a witness, folks. You'll never regret that you let him into that dark door that you keep closed. Let him get in there and deal with that. And again, you know, as James is talking about prayer, he's talking about believers. You have an unrighteous agenda. You have fleshly desires. That's why you're praying for things. And again, not that God doesn't want you to have nice things, but always check your heart before him. Lord, you know, my car is okay, but boy, I would really love to have a new car. I would like to have one, Lord. That's real, honest. My old car is working just fine. Lord, I just really would like to have a Bluetooth, you know, my car. You know, it would be nice, you know. And I found that sometimes he just gives it to you. I'm going to give this to you because I just love you. You know, and you were honest. You didn't come to me and say, Lord, I need to go to the prison ministry, so I need a new car to go. I mean, just all this falsehood stuff. No. Lord, I just want one. Okay? I just want it. I like it and I want it. Okay? God can handle that. You don't have to be all, you know, pious before God. He does not mind you having nice, beautiful things. He loves you. You're his child. Don't you like to give your children nice things? You know, I remember when I was buying Chris and her little Easter outfit. I didn't go find the old raggedy stuff. You know, I went and got her nice velvet dresses. I tell people, that's why I had a girl, so I could have put her in a velvet dress. I can't even get her toe in a dress anymore, but I have my season. But, you know, and God has the same heart. I want to give you the nice things and the beautiful things, but be real with me. Be real with me. I don't mind you having it, but be real with me. He loves you so much. The next point of the scripture says, in your lesson says, as we review the scriptures above, it becomes clear that the strategy of answer prayer is being in communion and submission to the will of God as you pray for yourself and others. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And that's from Matthew 6:10. Trust that he's good. Trust that he's good. And let him have his way in your life. I just think about how if you ever went for surgery, you know, you have to sign the consent form, you know, mm-hmm. so that, you know, you're just giving the surgeon like free rein. You know, you do what you need to do. You know, you don't actually know what's he going to do. You don't have the skill that he has, but you sign that consent form. And then what happens? They put you to sleep. They put you to sleep while they do what they're going to do. Okay, they cut you open. They do all this stuff. You know, I mean, how silly would it be if you're saying, okay, I signed the consent form, but I want to be awake and I want a mirror so I can see everything that you're doing. How silly is that? Because you don't know what's going on. You probably pass out from seeing what they're doing anyway, because the stress would be too much for you to see yourself cut open like that. But that's what we do with God. I want to see what's going on. Just show me what's going on. Okay, what's happening? Why did that happen, Lord? Why did that happen? Oh, my God. The blood. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you're going to cut that? Ooh. How silly would it be for us to do that to a surgeon? But we do the same thing with God. You know, we don't release, we don't trust him. You know, yes, you might come out of it with a scar, folks. But boy, what was there that needed to be taken care of is taken care of. Oh, that's the way God is, I'm telling you. Yeah, some things are going to hurt. But I'm telling you, you trust him completely, like you trust that surgeon. You trust them. They put you to sleep. And you trust that they're going to take care of you while you're asleep and while they're cutting you open. That they're monitoring your vitals. Oh, God monitors you like nobody else. Do you know that? He says the very hairs on your head are counted. He knows how many you combed out this morning. He knows. He monitors you like better than any anesthesiologist would. You know, they're sitting there with all those. Oh, he's monitoring everything. He's seeing your emotions. He's seeing how much you can bear. You know, the scripture says he knows how much you can bear. He means that. He knows, you know what? She can't take that today. We're going to hold back on that till next week because she needs to get past that. But not today. I find that God is so merciful to me, like, not today, you know, or I'm going to give her this because she needs that today. She needs a good day. She needs some comfort today. So I'm going to send so-and-so to take her to lunch, or I'm going to have somebody give her a phone call, you know, because she needs that. I'm monitoring her, and yes, she's getting a little discouraged, so I'm going to send. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes it comes over the radio, just the very scripture you needed. Oh, my God.
Or a song.
A song that you needed. And boy, and I know it was God. I know it was God. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm monitoring even things that you're not saying out loud. And I love that about him. I haven't even said it out loud to anybody, you know, and we do that a lot, especially as parents and grandparents, as, you know, sometimes we hold so much inside. We don't say it. Our kids never know what we're feeling and what we're going through, but God is monitoring you. You're on his monitor, and he says, okay, encouragement. I'm sending encouragement. I'm sending this. I'm sending that. And I love when he does that, when he sends that encouragement, because I'm like, Lord, you know I needed that today. You know I needed that. Nobody else knew how I was feeling, but you did. And you sent it, and you comforted me. So God can be trusted. You can trust that he's good. You can go to sleep while the surgeon does his work, you know, and let him do his work on your life and trust it. The next point in your lesson says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are virtually united and my message lives in your heart, ask forever you wish and it will be done for you. And that's John 15:17. So your lesson says, too often we assume that we know the will of God. Oh, that's a biggie for us believers, man. We assume we know the will of God. We pray for something specifically, and then when our prayers are not answered specifically for what we prayed for, we feel that God has failed us. When the truth is, we fail to seek or listen to his will and his word concerning that situation. Oh, wow. It is a truth so often. I mean, the scripture is clear. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. And we assume we know. We assume we know the Bible. You know? We assume we know it in all of its fullness and all of its depth and what his word has said. Your lesson says we fail to set the crosshairs of prayer on God and his word. We set them on ourselves and our emotions and our desires. Oh, boy, this is so often, especially when we're praying for other people. It's a biggie when we pray for other people. We think we just assume that we know what to pray for, especially when they're asking you for it. They come asking, pray this and this and this, or pray that and that. And I'm like, you know, I got to pray God's will be done. That's that song, Thy Will Be Done. I said, Lord, I'm learning. I don't know enough. I don't have enough intel to pray for aim the crosshairs where you want them, Lord. And then I pray, Thy will be done, because he is a God of not just the temporal. He's a God of the eternal. And he knows what needs to be done. And so I've learned to pray, thy will be done. Lord, there are certain things in his word that I do pray. It is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's in the word of God. And there's other things that are so clear in his word of God. You know, I will save you and your household. I love that one. I'm like, oh, Lord, I know you will. I love that one. You know, that's why I say when people are praying and they say, oh, people have, they died and they didn't. I'm like, I don't know what happened in that split second. I just believe Jesus can step out of time and space because I believe what his word says about things. I believe what his word says about things. So keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. So how often do we pray against the word of God? Uh-oh, do we ever pray against the word of God? You know, praying certain things and praying this, you know, Lord, I just pray that they move. I just pray they move from next door to me. I just pray to get fired. Let's take them out of here. And you don't even care where they end up. You just want them to get fired. Just Lord, you know, we do. We do that. That's human. That's just human. But we got to learn to set those crosshairs right. How beautiful it would be if they got saved. If you point those crosshairs. Lord, I pray for their salvation. Okay, now you're in line. Because it's not his will that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. You need to pray for that neighbor. Turn those crosshairs to the neighbor. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Ghost visits you. and the word says, and you need to write this one down, Matthew 5:44. This is what the word of God says. Love your enemies. Uh-oh. Do you ever pray, God help me to love them after they've done something? Because it says enemies. Okay. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. What is up with that? That goes against every little bit of grain in the human heart to do these things. So often we skim over this in prayer. We're not praying for our enemies. We're not praying at all. I may not be praying against them, but I'm not going to pray for them at all. Uh-oh, but the Bible says pray for them. So you need to be praying for them, not omitting them in your prayer because you're mad at them.
And blessing them.
And blessing them. You mean I got to bake them cookies too? You mean I got to bring them coffee in the morning? Yes. That's exactly what that means, beloved. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will move on you to do it. And I find the Lord will even give you opportunity to bless them or curse them, even in employment or jobs or stuff like that. You can give them a good recommendation. You could recommend them. And boy, the Holy Spirit will, what are you going to do? Are you going to act out in vengeance? Are you going to point out all their negative and their faults? Are you going to throw them under the bus now, like everybody else does? That's what everybody other human would do, throw them under the bus. What are you going to do? Boy, I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over again how, you know, if you would act, in the will and the way of God, how that life could be turned totally around. If you would act in the way of God, if you don't return insult for insult, evil for evil, that's another scripture. For this you have been called, it says, not to do these things, but to pray for them. Pray for them which despitefully, meaning it wasn't even an accident. They did it on purpose. Despitefully used you. And the Lord calls you to put them in your crosshairs and pray for them. Good things. Lift them up before the Father. So folks, I'm telling you, we're talking about the battle plan for prayer. We're talking about strategy now. We're talking about specificity now. and how you need to pray for people. Some of the meanest people are the people that are hurting the most. Mm-hmm. I found that through my life. When I was young, I used to think, oh man, just hateful. Can't stand it. Just hateful. But now I learned as I got the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit taught me. They've had losses. Mm-hmm. They're hurt. Everybody's hurt them. Are you going to do the same thing? You're supposed to be my representative, and are you going to do the same thing? Are you going to show them my love is different? My love will reach out. And the first time you reach out, they might bite your hand, okay? They might bite you a few times. You know, like a dog that's been mistreated, and you reach out, and that dog just bites you because it's just used to people beating them down and hurting them. But will you stay as Jesus stayed? Oh, my God. We're going back to all the way back to that first scripture in the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. I'm facing all of this for them. They're going to beat me. They're going to humiliate me. They're going to whip me. Oh, they're going to embarrass me. They're going to strip me down, and they're going to nail me to a piece of wood. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Folks, you got to be ready. You're talking about being prayer warriors? This is what it takes, being a prayer warrior. Because as you're praying, you're going to be the one that God's going to be putting in that place to reach out to the one that nobody wants to reach out to. Everybody at work, nobody can stand them. But God will call you to reach out. Your lesson says even good things, according to human understanding, are not necessarily God things. That's a good one. I love that one. The difference between a good thing and a God thing, folks, and we got to really get this one. Thy will be done should always be the banner on your prayers. This means you must walk or live carefully. You got to sober up. As believers, we got to sober up and we got to live carefully, knowing what is good and what is God. Pray about everything. Bring everything before the examination of God to see if it is his will. I don't care how good and how pretty and how wonderful it smells and looks, folks. Bring it before God and pray. Remember, Jesus rebuked the religious leaders and had dinner with the tax collector and the sinners. Wow, that blew, that threw them for a loop, didn't it? He rebuked the religious leaders and then went and had dinner with a tax collector. I mean, his own disciples said, we don't even go into their homes. We don't. You know, and in the midst of all of this, here comes this woman, this street woman, at his feet crying and got her bottle of perfume. Bad enough, he's in the tax collector's house. Now the woman comes. I'm like, Jesus, I love Jesus. So I look, back at Jesus. I said, you know, Jesus, he was awesome. Yeah. And he's sitting up there, you know, and here she come in the middle of all this, crying, you know, at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. And they're like, oh my God, even the tax collectors are like, he don't even know what kind of woman this is. Even they don't deal with her. Oh, but he ministered to her too. He ministered to her too. Wow. I just love he gave her a seat at the table because he said, he took that the rest of that ointment. He said, keep this for my burial. Keep, I mean, gave her a job, you know, gave her a place at the table, if you will, for her to do something for him, the Son of God. Oh, folks, we got to really get those. Again, we're talking purpose of God. Purpose of God, because sometimes, well, so many times, I think most of the times, we don't even know where to aim those crosshairs. Oh, so we got to understand where Jesus was. Oh, wow, he rebuked the Pharisees and forgave the woman in adultery. That's what he does. So many healing and deliverances could occur in prayer if we would just seek to put his will in our crosshairs. How many people would be delivered? How many people would be set free if we sought to put his will in our crosshairs? That day, the tax collector was blessed. The woman, that street woman was blessed. And the disciples were blessed because they saw something. Because Jesus focused on the purposes of God. The next point in your lesson says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offense, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can give and can have tremendous power. That's James 5:16. A lot is packed into those verses. The Word of God encourages us over and over to pray, to talk to our Heavenly Father and ask things of Him. God wants you to be a part of change, that should be of change and movement in this world through the power of prayer. God wants you to be a part of the change in this world. We shake our head and we can't believe the things that are going on. Are you a part of the change in prayer? Are you a part of the change? Are you just standing there shaking your head at what goes on? Are you focusing your crosshairs? Are you just shaking your head? I can't believe it. Just watching the news. Are you focusing those crosshairs? As the scripture above comments, it can accomplish much. But note the preceding verse that again points to the condition of your heart before the effective prayer can be accomplished. It talks about your heart. You know, that verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offense, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. And then it goes into the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much. So folks, that heart thing, we got to get ourselves straightened out. Verse 16 discusses confessing your sins, a prayer for healing and restoration. Then comes the effective prayer. The prayer formed by the Holy Spirit, born out of the will of God. These prayers are specific and are answered specifically as the crosshairs of the believer's prayer are focused on the will of God. Oh boy, what we could accomplish if we prayed in spirit and in truth. If we made sure this was right, you know, as we went into prayer. Not perfect, but right before God. You know, I believe God hears especially children's prayers, because they're so pure. They may have given their mama such a hard day all day today, but their heart is so pure before God, and they'll come and they'll pray to Jesus, and I believe God hears it because it's so pure. You know, they're just, you know, they weren't perfect. Oh, but they come to God and they don't see any sin. They just. And I believe God hears those prayers. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, I've got stuff. I got issues. I got stuff I'm still working through, Jesus. And I'm willing to let you work on them. So, but I'm coming before you today because I got a need. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Where He'll hear it. The next point says, this all makes sense when you consider the holiness of God. How can our holy God answer the prayers of an unrighteous heart except the prayer to save me? Again, how can God answer the prayer of an unrighteous heart except it is the prayer to save me? The prayers of such a person would be riddled with unholy requests, which in His holiness God could not answer. Therefore, He teaches us by His Spirit and by His Word the strategies and specificities to answered prayer. You must seek to have the same heart as He does, and you will see specific answers to prayer. They are the fingerprint of a living, loving God who invites all of us to draw close to Him. And this is from our book. That last quote is from our book. And this ended with Acts 17:28. It says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. It, you know, we live and we move in Him, not in ourselves. When we're praying, we need to be living and moving in Him. We need to see how Jesus would do it. So we must take a fresh and renewed look at prayer. And I wanted to finish this up so we could go, next time we come back, we can go actually go into lesson one. So. So you'll see that I put a section here in your handout, battle plan commitments as you go forward, to read and study the battle plan for prayer weekly. If you don't have the book, this is the book. Can I see your book again?
Oh, sure.
This is the book, Battle Plan for Prayer. You can get this on Amazon. If you need help, Virginia is our tech, our class tech. So see her, and she can order the book for you. And how much is it running, Virginia?
$12.78.
I think it's the most expensive it will be. Sometimes you can get used copies for cheaper.
But the most. Get the used ones first.
Yeah, and she'll try and get the used ones first that are cheaper. But so reading and studying your book weekly, read the Bible every day, something from the Word of God every day, folks. Even if it's just one verse, okay? There's a lot of power. I find the Word is so rich. One verse. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't done that, just say, okay, I got to read my one verse today. Do that. Pray every day. Your prayer time should be both scheduled and spontaneous. Okay, both scheduled and spontaneous. Some people say, well, I pray all the time. But do you have scheduled prayer? Do you have time? And that's why I put a space there for you to write down when is your scheduled time for prayer. You know, we schedule time for everything else. And we have places. You know, and I also put a place for you to designate a place in your home for your prayer. Where are you going to pray? Have you set up your war room, your war closet yet? You know, a space where you, this is my prayer place. You know, because we have places in our home for everything else. You have your bedroom, that's where I sleep. You got your kitchen. Oh, God knows we love the kitchen. You will not be building a house without a kitchen, okay? You know, but do you have a place for prayer? How important is that? You know, Job said this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Man, what he's basically saying, I'll have a prayer closet before I have a kitchen. And that's Job 23:1. No, I'm sorry, 23:12. More than my necessary food. How do you see prayer? Do you have a place for it? Have you designated it? If not, this is what this is for. So you can write it down and say, this is my prayer place that I'm going to pray. This is my prayer time. I'm going to meet God. You know, and hopefully you have a little bit of wall space where you can start putting stuff on your wall. You know, prayers on your wall. You know, even a list of answers to prayer. That really encourages you when you're praying. And then finally, we have prayer targets. Develop a specific personalized ongoing prayer list using one or more of the following questions. And this is from the book. What are your top three biggest needs right now? What are the top three things you are most stressed about? What are the three issues in your life that would take a miracle of God to resolve? I love that one. What is something good and honorable that God, if God provided it, it would greatly benefit you, your family, and others? You know, something that you're asking for. As I said, something might be a car, a house, something that you know that it would be a blessing if we got that, Lord. What is something you believe God may lead you to do, but you need his clarity and direction on? You know, sometimes you have that little inkling in the back of your mind that God has been on you about. You need to get involved. You need to do that. You need to do that. So what is it? Write it down. What is a need from someone you love that you'd like to start praying for? You know, and I went back to see if it was from someone you love. And yeah, sometimes we're longing for something from somebody that you love, that you like to start praying about. You know, again, those hard things that you don't even want to talk about. But I dare you to write it down and make this a part of your prayer closet, your prayer list. Lord, I'm praying over these things. And these are the things that I'm believing you for, Lord. And, you know, even as you put these things in your crosshairs, you know, you might be changing that list. God may say, I want you to add that instead of this. You know, it just so many things that you start getting things in the crosshairs and date it. Like, God gave me clarity on this date, on May 25th, 2019. He brought me clarity on that one, on where to put those crosshairs, you know, so as we pray. Any comments? I know we ran over a little bit. Any comments or questions? Thank you. Did you have something that you wanted to say? Oh, you? Okay. Oh, Virginia.
There was a saying that said, turn your scars into stars.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And that's exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. They turn into stars.
We all have scars.
I wouldn't trade my testimony for anything. I know you wouldn't, boy.
Oh, no.
You have a powerful testimony. Yeah.
Robert Morris, on a teaching the other day on prayer, was talking about worship, praise, prayer, and then scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a prayer, write it down, and then pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever God gives you a scripture on it, put it down.
That's good.
And always, for whatever you're praying for, you should always look for God to give you a scripture to confirm it.
Amen. That's good. That's good. And I would say, put that on that line too, the scripture reference that God gives you concerning that prayer request. Yeah, because it has to line up with His Word, folks. It has to line up with His Word. God will never go against His Word. So if you're praying something that is against the Word of God, you're wasting your time, I'm telling you now. He will never do that. His word is His Word.
There's sometimes where He was talking about His daughter, giving His daughter as an example. She wanted to go to a school and to ORU, I guess, and they were in Dallas, and Tulsa's up here.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, when she was talking to the administrator of the school, she said his voice sounded like a trumpet to her.
Mm.
And so she wrote that down. And things about the prayer, what you're praying for, and what you may be hearing, so you write it down.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and then she told her dad, well, I think I'm supposed to go down to ORU.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, let me help you with your geography. He said, so if you're down in Dallas, Tulsa is up.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, God is saying your prayer should be, I want to go up to Tulsa.
To Tulsa, yeah.
And then finally she got a word, and it was in Revelation.
Uh-huh.
Oh, her other part of her prayer was, and I don't know what's going to happen after that.
Uh-huh.
And so she said that she found her scripture in Revelation, and it talked about the trumpet sounds, and you should go up there, and I'll tell you what will happen after that.
Wow.
And it was in Revelation.
Wow.
So, you know, that was an awesome example about prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's how He does it. It's so specific. You know, and you know it. He did something to me yesterday. I was just thinking about somebody and just praying for them. And I mean, immediately over the radio, scripture came.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about, and I will restore all. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, and I knew, you know. I mean, after a while, I started saying, you're really listening, aren't you? Yeah, I'm listening.
Yes.
Hear every word. I, you don't even have to speak, and I know what's going on with you. Anybody else?
I've been a Christian for about 30 some years, but we need to hear this because we forget.
Amen.
I mean, I've just been so washed by God's word.
Yes.
And because our flesh, Jesus said the flesh is flesh.
Yes.
And the spirit is spirit.
Uh-huh.
And they conflict with each other.
Yes.
And go against each other.
They do.
So we have to be reminded, even though we know that we're in the Lord, we're not perfect.
Yes.
Ever on this side.
Yes.
But we need to hear, and I'm so thankful that I got these jewels.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your name?
Irene.
Irene.
Sister Irene. I mean.
I was like, this is your sister Irene.
Karen. Yeah. This is my cousin, first cousin.
Irene.
She came down. I hadn't seen her for 12 years.
Wow. Well, welcome. We're glad you're with us today, Irene.
Yeah, she's been a blessing this week.
Yeah.
Because she has a beautiful Bible.
Yeah.
And we've been having a Bible study at home and, you know, reminiscing.
Yes.
So, yes.
Well, praise God. I'm so glad. Glad you could join us. Thank you for your comments.
You.
Anybody else?
This is my sister, Jean.
Oh, Jean, wow. Nice to meet you, Jean. Glad you could join us today. Yeah. So let's pray. We're going to pray, and I know folks have to get to their station. Lord, we just thank you for another day. We thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and teaches us and gives us revelation in your word, Lord God. Father, for each of us, it's different. Oh, Lord, you're so personal with us, and we thank you for that, Lord God. And, Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you go with us, Lord God. Continue to minister your word to us, Lord God. Again, we don't want to have it be words that just roll off our back. But, Lord, we want to take it in. We want to digest it. And we want it to become a part of who we are, Lord God. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. And we ask, Lord God, oh God, that you continue to be with us and bless us. We continue to expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.